So hopefully so far today you have felt and sensed the love of our Heavenly Father, because that's what it's all about. Amen. And then hopefully you sense that here at Westside that we esteem you highly as dads, and you recognize and realize that we love you and we care for you. And then on top of that, I want to encourage you or give you some direction from the Word today concerning fatherhood, and maybe some steps we can take, from inspiration from the Lord. Let's go ahead and get into the Word today. I don't have a lot of time, so I got to blaze through some of this. I'm going to talk to you this morning about being a living barbecue. How many of you fathers think you're a living barbecue? Let me start us off with a scripture. Romans 12:1. I think I have a slide for that, fellas. Is therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Let me start off by saying this. It's easy to be consumed with fatherhood so much that we can forget about and let go of certain aspects of living. Can you agree? Would you agree with that, fathers? No? Well, let me explain then if you think no. Sometimes we are so consumed with the responsibility of being dad, because it is a high order of responsibility, correct? We can be so consumed with the responsibilities and the role and the duties that we have as fathers that there is possibility of certain aspects of our own life, these God-given, God-ordained, God-emplaced aspects of our own life that we can easily forget about, or if not forgot about, easily set aside on the back burner and not attended to, not pursued, and not even embraced as a part of our life because of our responsibility as fathers. And in my heart, when I was preparing for this talk, I really felt in my heart for me to share about three distinct aspects of living, three characteristics that God wants us to live out in spite of being fathers, in spite of having these big responsibilities and this big job of being a father. And so with that in mind, I want us to talk about offering ourselves to God as a sacrifice, so that he can burn in us three specific aspects, three different characteristics. It's kind of like when you have a steak or a hamburger, you add seasoning or you add Worcestershire sauce or various items to that meat, and then you throw it on the grill and you let the fire on that grill burn in certain flavorful characteristics of that meat. And the great thing about God is when we offer our lives to him, when we do what Romans said, when we come to the Lord and we offer our lives as living sacrifices to God, and we sacrifice for him and we give to him, even though it is a sacrifice, it also equals freedom and opportunity. When you look at Scripture, you consistently come across sacrifices. In the Old Testament, there was the sacrifice of bulls and cows and goats and lambs and other items as well. And the one thing about sacrifices is it always equaled freedom and opportunity. And here's the thing with God. When we, whether it be as fathers, whether it be as mothers, as singles, as young folk, as wise folk, whenever we offer our life unto God, there is an equation that comes out of that, and it equals freedom and opportunity, because when we give our life to God, God takes from his own life and he deposits in us. And that's what fatherhood is all about. It's taken out of one's heart, taking out of one's life, taking out of one's experience, and depositing it into another. So when we offer our life and we submit our life unto God, then he takes out of him and he deposits within us. So there's three things I want to talk about. Number one is purpose. Can you say purpose? We have a slide for that. Burning with purpose. Now, after you see some of these slides, some of you guys are going to be like, I want me a big old piece of red meat. One of the greatest examples of purpose as a father in the Word is Noah. Noah was a father before he was called to fulfill a specific purpose. Dads, in spite of your role, in spite of your responsibility, in spite of the long hours that we place into developing our kids, our children is not our only purpose. Our wives is not our only purpose. There is also what we call a kingdom purpose. It's a specific purpose that God has set aside, has created, has designed for us to fulfill in life. And it was that way with Noah. Let me read this real quick. Genesis 6, 9. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And this is my declaration and my proclamation to you fathers today. In spite of your heavy duties as a dad, you still have a purpose from God. You still have a place, a role to fill in his kingdom. And that is not something to be like overwhelmed about. It's not something to be like, oh, another iron in the pot, another task on the list, another thing to take care of. No, a purpose from God is an act. It is something in our life that brings fulfillment. It brings completion. It adds to our roles of a father, of a husband, of a man, of a child of God. And it's extremely beneficial to us as fathers. One of the greatest examples of faith in walking with God as a father is fulfilling a calling from God. One of the greatest examples of our faith as fathers, of us walking with God before our children as fathers, one of the greatest examples that shines bright is our embracing and our fulfilling what God has called us to do. I can honestly say that it was my dad's dedication to what he was called to do that has impacted me the most concerning my faith. It wasn't him preaching at me. It wasn't him giving me a whooping. It wasn't him telling me what we do and we don't do in life. It wasn't him saying we got to go to church three times a week and some after that. All that came and go. And to be honest, at the time, I resented some of those remarks. I resented some of those comments. I resented the discipline. But what has stood as a testament of his faith and what has impacted me the most is not what he done, but his commitment to do what he was called to do. Amen? So fathers, I want to declare over you and I want to proclaim over you that you have a purpose aside from your purpose as a father. And if you're wondering, how can I influence my children in faith? How can I lead them down the right path? How can I show them to do what God wants them to do or live how God wants to live? One of the greatest examples is recognize what God has called you to do, fulfill what God has called you to do, be committed to what God has called you to do, and allow your connection, your faith, your relationship with God shine out to your children, to your family, based off what God has called you to do. It speaks volumes. See, God hasn't called us to be perfect. There's no perfect father. Can I get it right on? But God has called us into purpose. So you're not going to be a perfect father. I'm not going to be a perfect father. Nobody is going to be a perfect father. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to wake up with attitudes. We're going to say things we shouldn't say. We're going to discipline when we shouldn't discipline. We're going to do things and make choices that we shouldn't do, that we shouldn't make. We're not perfect. But what we can make sure is that we grab on to the purpose and the calling that God has for us as fathers. Because it not only blesses us, it not only blesses whom God is calling us to, but it also is a bright shining light to our children. So, the first thing that we need to make sure we don't lose in the midst of fatherhood is our purpose. Can you say purpose? Number two is passion. Can someone say passion? Psalms 37:4, written by David, says this: take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. How many of you have walked out to your barbecue grill, and it being a gas grill, you went to screw the knob and hit the little fire button, and all you get was a click, 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 click. Like, shake the canister, loosen the valve, tighten it back up. You just know you have gas in there. Click, 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 click. Like, oh, I got to go get gas now. Who likes to get gas when you're empty for your barbecue grill? No, it's so stinking irritating, isn't it? You're like, I like to take this grill and throw it at the gas station. An empty barbecue grill, in essence, is a useless barbecue grill. Life without passion, or a passion, we can be specific about this, is like having an empty barbecue tank or barbecue grill. Maybe you use briskets. Sometimes being a father is so heavy and so burdensome that one of the first things to go is our personal, specific passions. Responsibility, heaviness, weightiness takes the place of certain freedoms and certain liberties that we might have had before fatherhood to pursue a specific passion. And honestly, to maintain a passion and to keep a passion really requires an extended effort. It requires a focus. It also requires a knowledge unto ourselves and being true to our heart and true to our mind, saying that I have a passion in my heart. I have something inside of me, and it keeps me alive. It keeps me going. It keeps me refreshed. It allows me to straighten my thoughts. It allows me to escape life. It gives me a reason just to keep going and going and going. See, passion is so important. David is a prime example for passion. And one of the passions that we see evident in David's life is playing music and writing songs. We see it from when he was a kid. We see it from when he was a king. If you begin to go into the historical format of David, we also know that David was a creator of musical instruments. And this was a passion that was in David's heart, to write and to play music. And he never let go of it. whether he was beheading giants, whether he was leading mighty men, whether he was running from his life from an estranged king, whether he was messing up and completely failing or dropping the ball, no matter what David did, he never let go of, he never quit, he never forgot about his passion. And we can see how his passion in his life was a tool of expression and a tool for refreshment. And so let me say to you fathers, let me challenge you, don't lose your passion. Don't lose a passion for life. Don't stop pursuing your passions. Don't give up on what's in your heart. Because once we lose passion, life becomes very disappointing. I've seen it. I've experienced it. I've dealt with it. And a number of men, they had passion and drive and a sense of pursuit at different seasons of their life. And then all of a sudden, reality kicked in. Responsibility kicked in. Big, heavy roles kicked in. And their passion began to dwindle and dwindle and dwindle and dwindle. And after it came down to nothing, instead of walking around with some pep in their step, or walking around with a sense of passion and pursuit and even purpose, they walked around as if they lost everything, with the reality that my life has become so disappointing. And it has nothing to do with not being appreciative of what you have. It has nothing to do with not loving children or loving your spouse. It has everything to do that God has placed a passion in your heart. God has put a pursuit in your mind. It is in you for a purpose. It is in you for a reason. And we have to fight, and we have to realize and be wise and make good choices to keep the passion alive in our hearts. And mamas, wives, don't let your man lose his passion. And I would say the same thing to the fathers and the husbands, but we're not talking about that today. So wives, mothers, don't let your man lose his passion of pursuit, his passion to live, his passion to be. If you want a good father, then keep the father of your children passionate about living and passionate about life. I've seen some mothers and I've seen some wives, and I'm not harping on mothers and I'm not harping on wives. I'm just giving some reality checks. I've seen some of them try to put their thumb on their men. Like, oh no, he's not going to go out and buy a new gun. Oh no, he's not going to ride motorcycles. Oh no, he's not going to go hang with his friends. Oh no, he's not going to play softball. Oh no, he's not going to play cards on Friday night. Oh no, he can't go watch the football game. You might be in the doghouse because your actions is telling on your wife. Can I get a ride on? I mean, seriously. Seriously. I'm glad Gary got it. I wish everybody of you was doing what he was doing. God, preach it, preach it. I am passionate in my life about inspiring other men to be passionate about their life. And it is in my heart to say to you fellas today, no matter your age, no matter your ups and downs, no matter if you've lost passion, it is time to get the passion back. Because when you're passionate about living, when you're passionate about something that God has put in you, guess what? You're going to be passionate about your kids. You're going to be passionate about your wife. You're going to have a fire. You're going to have a flame. You're going to have a pep in your step. And you're going to be a total new man. See, life comes against you. The devil comes against you. And things come against you to try to get you to forget about your passion and to not think about your passion and not pursue your passion. But rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus Christ. Have a serious conversation with your wife. Realize, make time for yourself. And know that if you keep your passion alive, you can keep your life alive, your marriage alive, your kids alive. You can even keep faith alive in your heart if you keep passion alive. Amen. Passion, passion, passion. It's important. Amen. The third one. prosperity. Can you say sizzling prosperity? Joshua 1:8 says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. I'm sorry, I just got to hit the pause button. I got to take a step back to passion. Because I was just reminded of something, and this is for somebody. How many of you like the Disney animation movie, The Incredibles? Yeah? I mean, I think it's awesome. It's like one of my favorite animation movies. It's like killer. It's like, I want to be Mr. Incredible. Not when he's at the office job, right? Like before. So you remember in the movie when he had to stop being a hero, right? And then all of a sudden he had to go and he went and had to take an office job. Not that that's bad, but for him, it wasn't his passion. And he became very disappointed in life. He became down. He became upset. Even his physical body began to change because he lost a passion. He lost something that kept him living, that kept him alive. Then all of a sudden, just by happen chance, there was a plan in the movie. He had an adversary that wanted him dead. But he was given an opportunity to take on another superhero role. He had an opportunity to revive his passion. And then what began to happen to him? All of a sudden, he was walking around like he was king of the jungle. He was exercising. He went over to a train yard and began to lift trains. Right? He got his zest of life back. Began to flirt with his wife a little bit more. Now, he did a no-no. He was keeping a secret from his wife. Gentlemen, that's a no-no, okay? I'm not using the Incredibles to condone that. But the whole point is this. Is he was reunited with his passion, and because he was reunited with his passion, he once again experienced a zest for living. And that zest for living changed everything. Changed his connections, it changed his activity, it changed his attitude, it changed his demeanor, even changed how he interacted with his wife. Now you might be saying, Jonathan, that's a stupid cartoon. It is a stupid cartoon, but there's a lot of truth in Disney cartoons. But I really believe the Holy Spirit brought that to my attention to simply say this. Some of you have lost your passion. You've let it go by some situation in life. And what God wants you to hear today is if you would revive the passion, you would revive your life. You will find a zest. You will find a fire. You begin to find a reason. A reason to live is not a right way to put that, having a hard time saying it. But a reason just to go, a reason just to be all that is in your heart to be. So you can take that for however you want, but I really believe that the Lord wanted me to hit the pause button and say to us fathers and us men's, it's time to be Mr. Incredible again. Amen? So let's get back to prosperity. Now, prosperity has a bad rap in the church world because we have some ignorant biblical teachers that has tried to take this word and create it in a way that it would just benefit them. And I think you know me by now. When I say the word prosperity, I'm not specifically talking about getting rich. Amen? So when you look at biblical prosperity, it is talking about just basically successful living in every aspect of your life. Successful living in your marriage. Successful living in your career. Successful living in pursuing your passion. Successful living with your children. Successful living in your community. On down the line, and success in your finances. And so, sometimes the overwhelming factor of being a father can change the mind, the expectation, the belief, and even the hope of having great success or living in abundance. But, you know, I believe with all my heart that it is God's desire for us as fathers to be prosperous. See, it was God's desire for Joshua to be prosperous on numerous levels, but one specific level is because of the role he was stepping into. He was about to become the leader of a nation, and he had to lead that nation into prosperity. But if he could not have a mindset of prosperity, he would not be able to lead that nation into prosperity. And God gave him some keys, and God said to him, and I'm paraphrasing, God basically said, if you take my word and you speak it, think it, and do it, then you will be successful. And fathers, it is God's will for you to be prosperous, because if you're prosperous, guess what? Your family is prosperous. If you're prosperous, your marriage is prosperous. If you're prosperous, you're going to be prosperous in other important aspects of your life. See, God told Joshua how to be prosperous because for Joshua, fatherhood and leadership went hand in hand. And oftentimes in the Bible, when you look at leadership and you look at fatherhood, they go hand in hand. They marry one another. And even though the role is separate, the responsibilities is very similar, and so often the same. That's why in Timothy, the Bible says that when it kind of gave a protocol for elders in a church or even deacons in a church, it specifically said that they are to be family men that has their family in order. Because leadership and fatherhood go hand in hand. God wants his leaders to prosper, amen? With that being said, God wants the fathers to prosper. And God has given us a very, very simple protocol or step for that to happen. To speak his word, to think his word, and to do his word. And I believe, and what I've seen, is when that takes place, then prosperity and success, the totality of prosperity and the totality of success begins to unfold and begins to happen in a person's life. Now let me be very quick with the very end of this. We're over 12, I'm sorry. So the next slide says, don't burn the barbecue. How many of you ever burnt the barbecue? It happens, right? Well, it is very easy, if we're not careful, for us to burn our hearts, gentlemen. For us to burn away the purpose. For us to burn away the passion. And for us to burn away the prosperity. I listed three things that can help us not to burn away these three characteristics. Number one is don't waste your time. Time is a value, and as the old saying goes, time is money and money is time. And one of the great temptations that we have today is the waste of time. The waste of time with the devices that's in our hand. The waste of time with the big 65-inch screen that is sitting in front of our couch. A waste of time of not focusing on what we need to focus on in order for there to be purpose, passion, and prosperity. I would encourage you, fathers, take an examination of your time. This past week, I took an examination of my time, and I made a choice. I'm not a social media guy. Rarely do I do social media. It irritates me more than it makes me, more than I enjoy it. I don't watch hardly any TV. So all week long, I might have 2 or 3 hours of TV time. Just not into it. But what I do enjoy to do is I do enjoy to watch BreadBull.com on Apple TV or the internet. And I love adventure YouTube videos. Dirt biking, rock climbing, snowboarding, hog hunting. So I may not watch TV and I don't get on social media, but give me a few seconds in the day or even before I'm going to bed at night. Lorana's all Facebooking and I'm oohing on over this dirt bike on YouTube. And in the beginning of this week, I just kind of got sick of it. I didn't even told my wife, but have you noticed that I'm not even looking at the computer anymore? You haven't noticed? Well, I have. I've stopped. You're just not paying attention to your man is what the case is. I made a choice this week. Unless it is of necessity, because I do use my device for work, and there are researches that I have to do. So I made a choice this week. If it's beyond necessity, I'm over it already. Now, I'm not saying 100%, but I realized that it's a time killer. It's so wasteful. Why should I need to sit there and just watch stupid videos of guys having accidents on motorcycles? Why do I need to sit there and watch a guy climb Yosemite over and over again? No, it's a waste of time. If I'm laying in bed, snuggle up to my honey or get some sleep. Don't look at the computer. If it's in the day, eat a healthy lunch, keep working. See, for me, now this is me. I'm not trying to put me on you. But what I'm saying is I recognize this is a time killer for me and how much more productive I would be in my purpose, in my passion, and my prosperity if I paid attention. What was killing time? What was sucking time? Things that don't even matter. Facebook doesn't matter in the big scheme of things. Watching TV 20 to 30 hours a week. Oh, that's disgusting. Come on, there is a purpose, there is a passion, and there is prosperity to be had. But so oftentimes we do not get it because of time. Not time that we don't have, time that we waste. Oh, you guys are quiet. I am stepping on some toes. The second thing, real fast, is not pursuing what God puts in your heart. What does God put in your heart that you're just sitting on? What does God put in your heart that you're watching videos about but not pursuing? What does God put in your heart? And it don't matter how old you are. What God, if your heart is pumping blood, then God will put something in you. Sometimes we burn our hearts by not pursuing what God puts in our heart. My wife is giving me a pretty smile, so I'm assuming that is saying you need to hurry up. The third one, the last one is, let's not be foolish. Foolish. Let's not make stupid choices. Let's not make stupid mistakes. Let's not give in to our sin. Let's not practice the acts of the flesh. Let's be people of God. Let's follow His ways. Let's do what He's called us to do. Let's not be foolish. How many of you can handle more purpose, passion, and prosperity? Amen. Then I would encourage you to take a look at these three factors that has a tendency to burn the heart up and not keep the heart alive. Wasteful time, not pursuing your heart, and being foolish in our choices and our actions. Amen? Amen. Bow your head and close your eyes. We're just going to, well, I tell you what, no, it's Father's Day, ain't it? Fathers, if I could get you to go ahead and just come to the front with your families. Worship team, if you guys would come out. I'll tell you what, let's just play some music. Can you guys throw some music on me so we can be all together as a family? Fathers, if you would, just go ahead and come down to the front. We want to pray for you. We want to bless you. Fathers, you're created for purpose, you're created for passion, you're created for prosperity. Families, I want you to declare and I want you to proclaim those three characteristics over the dad that you're with today. Pray over them. Pray purpose over them. Pray passion over them. Pray prosperity over them. The Bible is all about declaring. The Bible is all about proclaiming truth. The Bible is all about making statements of faith. And today I want us to declare, I want us to proclaim, and I want us to take us to speak a statement of truth over our fathers. Declare on their behalf purpose. Declare on their behalf passion. Declare on their behalf prosperity. Because when they have purpose, when they have passion, and when they have prosperity, it blesses all of you that is surrounding that father that you're standing with this morning. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I feel you. I sense you here today. Not just in an average general context, but I actually sense you here. I sensed you here when the music began in a special way. And I sense you here right now. I believe with all my heart that your spirit is hovering over the depths of the heart of our fathers. Just like in the beginning of time, when the word says that the spirit was hovering over the deep. Father God, as your spirit is hovering over the hearts of our fathers, Lord, I ask that you speak from your throne in heaven, purpose into their heart. Speak passion into their heart. Speak prosperity in their heart. Just like you spoke the light into existence. Just like you spoke the waters and the earth into existence. Just like you spoke all of creation except for humanity into existence, speak these three characteristics into the heart of our fathers today. Let them feel it. Let them sense it. Let them latch onto it. That in spite of their big responsibility of being fathers, which is priority and which is grand, that in spite of that, that there is still a purpose to fulfill. That there is still a passion to pursue. And that there is prosperity to be possessed. I speak it in the name of Jesus Christ the Son. I declare it in the name of Jesus Christ the Son. And I believe it to be in the name of Jesus Christ the Son. We worship you, we thank you, we honor you, God, the greatest Father of all. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen.